How do you define a successful life? If your answer can be summarized as earthly excellence and sacred significance, you're at the right place. Join host Stephanie Smith as she shares three keys unlocking a life of lasting purpose. Learn yourself, love God, and live connected. You'll become smarter about yourself, skilled in human dynamics, savvy about the Christian faith, and strengthened to pass this wisdom on to upcoming generations. And now, let's get started.
Hello, and welcome to Life's Key 3 podcast. Today's podcast is going to be a little bit different than what we've been doing this year because this episode is going to air Holy Week just a few days prior to Easter. It will air the day before what is known as Good Friday in the Christian calendar. As I am recording this, in the United States, we have so many families that are grieving because of recent tragedies, natural disaster that took the lives of more than 24 people, as well as another shooting that occurred at a school, killing both young children and adults. There is so much grief. And around the world, the same is true. Nations that are fighting for their very existence, literally fighting with ammunition, with missiles, with soldiers. Nations and communities that are fighting for their existence because of poverty and crime, inadequate water, housing, shelter, clothing, lacking the basics to just survive from day to day. There is one word that rings out from every one of these situations. It goes across cultures. It is known by both men and women, adults and children. It is not limited by age, economic status, gender, intelligence, physical capacity, race, ethnicity, or any of the many other ways that we categorize people. It is truly a word that is common to all people, and not just for today's world, but since the beginning, this word has echoed across the galaxies. What is that word? Why? Why?
Why?
Why?
Why?
For every time that word is uttered, the times it is ever answered is minuscule, so small. It wouldn't even show up on a graph compared to the number of times why is asked. I have asked this question more than once in my own life. And years ago, when I was at a place where this word erupted from a soul that was convulsing with pain, I remembered the cross of Jesus Christ. And I saw for the first time in a fresh light the significance of Jesus calling out why, and then following it with the words that came later. One of the teachings that I've heard throughout my life, which I do not believe to be true, I find no basis for this in Scripture, is that God turned his back on Jesus when he was on the cross because he could not bear to look upon sin. I don't see that anywhere in the Bible. I see God is very capable of looking upon sin. How many times do we see the God in the Old Testament who sends his prophets and his messengers and says, I am so well aware of your sin. Let me, in fact, detail to you in specifics how you are sinning against me and how it is affecting our relationship and how it is going to impact you if you continue doing this. Prior to God giving Noah instructions to build the ark, it clearly tells us that God was grieved because of the sin that he witnessed happening upon the earth. I don't know where that teaching began, and I don't think it continues because of any ill will on the part of anyone who says that, but I think that it makes us a little more distance from the reality of the cross, because if Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because God had to turn his back on him. We can't relate to that. We don't bear the sin of the entire world. We're not the perfect sacrifice. But if Jesus cried that out because he was fully God and fully human, and in that moment, and in the moments that followed, he felt the pain of the silence of heaven, just as we feel the pain of the silence of God when we encounter and face such devastating situations that we feel we can hardly make it through. Then we have a Savior that we can fully relate to. Today, I am going to share with you a short piece that I wrote many, many years ago, following one of the times that I cried out in agony to God, "Why?" And I pray that if you are at a place in your life that you are crying out, "Why?" or when you come to a place in life that you cry that out, either because of something that you go through or because you walk through something alongside somebody else, that these words will give strength to your soul and the power to not lose faith. Silence, copyright 2004. Voices jangle in the marketplace, as money jingles in the hands of vendors and shoppers haggling over the price of goods. Homes chime with the laughter of children, buzz with the chatter of mothers, and gong with the directives of fathers. Streets moan with the slap of sandals on stone paths, vibrate with the brisk trot of horses, and echo with the snorts, squeals, and squawks of animals. Silence is scarce on this day. Outside the city walls, however, the sounds are different. Weeping, taunts, whispers, and commands jab the humid air. The hum of insects drawn by fresh blood and open wounds contrasts with the call of birds circling high above the dying men. An eerie darkness covers the land. The sun, it seems, has pulled a black mantle of grief across its face. From the cross in the middle, an anguished groan petitions, "My God! My God! Why have you forsaken me?" And the awesome, majestic voice of the Creator, at whose word galaxies came into existence, who spoke and the stars took their places, who uttered words that pierced the hearts of prophets and hardened those of kings, whose voice had thundered from the burning bush and broken up the fountains of the deep, answers nothing. Nothing. Where are the angels who had filled the sky at his birth? Where is the voice from heaven that had announced, "This is my son whom I love"? Where is the "I am that I am"? Why does the sky not resonate with the piercing cry of a father declaring his presence? Why does the hand that had written on the wall a message for a drunken king now not reach to comfort the King of Kings? Why does Jesus hear the laughs of the created, not the love of the Creator? The silence of heaven emboldens some in their arrogance. They interpret the quiet as proof that God, if he even exists, doesn't hear, doesn't care, doesn't answer. Their taunts grow coarser, their mocking louder, their hearts harder. For others, the silence confirms what they've long suspected. God is a temperamental tyrant, unreliable, unpredictable. For no good God, no loving father could see his son in such pain and not respond. They walk away from the cross, convinced God is unworthy of trust. For others, the silence is bewildering. Have they been wrong? Have the last 3 years been a waste? Have they given up their comfort, their livelihoods, their dreams for nothing but a well-meaning but misguided man? Have they been duped? Are they really nothing but fools following a fool? The miracles they've seen become dreamlike in the dizziness of despair. Hope drains from their souls as silence screams, "Why?" Then a voice, not from heaven, from the cross. His throat swollen, his mouth dripping blood. The one crowned with thorns utters not a question, but a declaration. "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And it is then that the heavens thunder the response of God. The earth shakes and splits with the intensity of the Creator's reply. A tapestry in the temple rips into as the Father proclaims, "I am here." For the silence of the Father did not destroy the faith of the Son. In Jesus' profession is the echo of words spoken centuries before, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." As we bear the crosses in our lives, we will cry out, "Why?" But may that word never have the last word. Rather, may we choose to trust in the goodness of God, even when heaven is silent. At the end of every podcast episode, I close by saying, remember, my friend, you have an impact that is immeasurable, eternal, and irreplaceable. And I want you to really think about that today and to absorb that truth in your soul. You matter. The choices that you make, especially when you are crying out, "Why?" and there is silence, make more of a difference than you may ever know on this side of eternity. Just as Jesus cried out, "Why?" but he didn't let that be his last word. There is no indication that God responded to his question. There is nothing in Scripture that indicates there was anything but continuing silence between the time he uttered the question, "Why?" and he made the statement, "Into your hands I commit my spirit." How could he do that? Because he determined that he would believe in the presence of a good and faithful God, worthy of his trust, even when he didn't understand, he felt entirely alone, and there was no answer to his why. May that be your choice as well, my friend.
Thank you for listening. For information on speaking engagements and other resources, visit the website at stephaniepresents.com. Remember, learn yourself, love God, and live connected.